First, though, we'll have a look at the big rural news stories of the week with Clint Jasper. Good morning, Clint.
Morning, Ed. It's good to be on this side of the table again.
Yes, thank you very much for doing an awesome job filling in. An interesting week. The head of the National Farmers Federation has said the government's response to drought has been too focused on short-term support.
That's right. This week, Drought Minister David Littleproud said that the government was waiting for input from farmers before discussing a major drought response in Cabinet. I'm definitely sensing the drought policy debate has moved up to a new level in recent weeks, as lots of people have been again pointing out that Australia famously has no overarching long-term drought strategy. There are, of course, a number of support measures available for farmers in this drought, but the NFF President Fiona Simpson says the existing drought strategy is too high level.
Doesn't provide mechanisms for measuring the effectiveness that anything's on the table at the moment. And actually, there's no evidence to show at the moment that this drought strategy that the government's got has actually been effective.
Yeah, it's a long-term whinge from a whole lot of people. Look, last week, David Littleproud called on the states to step up, and Victoria announced a series of supports for its drought-affected farmers. Now there's a real push for similar moves across the border.
That's right. South Australian Labor has peeped across state lines and is now calling on the state government there to fund programs to help drought-affected South Australian farmers and pastoralists. The opposition says the government needs to adopt similar drought relief measures to Victoria, which now allocates $3,000 per drought-affected family. Shadow Regional Development Minister Eddie Hughes says the SA government needs to invest more in drought-affected communities.
Well, we now have two budgets in South Australia with not one cent set aside to provide assistance to farmers and pastoralists experiencing drought. Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland are all providing direct financial assistance.
It's been a busy week for Mr. Littleproud. He's also been discussing potential changes to the Murray-Darling Basin water market with horticulture industry leaders in Mildura. Why Mildura?
That's basically where a lot of them are based and a lot of them use a lot of water. He met with representatives from several peak bodies this week to hear their concerns about the influence speculators have on water prices. A potential short-term solution was canvassed at the meeting, we're told, although it's yet to be made public. And Mr. Littleproud says other basin governments will need to be supportive of any changes they make to the market.
Governments only interfere in marketplaces when there's an imbalance. And we should stay out of it otherwise, but if there's an imbalance and the ACCC says that, then we will have to act. I'll have to bring the states with me.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see how they define that interference and what it looks like. Upstream from Mildura, communities along the Murray are really at the coalface of the changes brought about by water trading.
Yeah, and this is just one example. A Finley dairy farmer says water management has dramatically shrunk her workforce and it's having flow-on effects in her community. Rachel Napier says the management of the Murray-Darling Basin plan and the water trade have forced her to reduce employee numbers. Despite many milk producers selling up in recent years, Ms. Napier says the dairy industry has a strong potential future, but the water trade and a lack of allocations today are making it difficult.
Our wages bill was around $450,000 and this year that's dropped to $20,000. That money was going into our local community. I mean, our business is just one business and one example, so clearly there's a lot of hurt going on.
Ouch, that is in stark relief, isn't it? Now, Clint, we've heard of the concept of water divining, everything from onion rings to Y-shaped sticks, and there's a hefty and pretty robust, you would say, amount of criticism thrown at that practice. But in New South Wales, they're doing something a little bit different with magnets.
That's right. The state government there will fund a large-scale three-month search for water in the New South Wales Central West. A helicopter will be used to fly a giant magnet across almost 20,000 square kilometres of the state, which is about an area 1.5 times the size of metropolitan Sydney. The Deputy Premier, John Barilaro, says the survey has the potential to help miners, communities and farmers.
We have an opportunity to, through this airborne electromagnetic survey, is to find water resources across this region. And I think it's exciting. It takes out the guesswork about where we punch a bore or where there might be some water reservoirs. And in this drought, I think we've got to do everything.
Now, helicopter pilot Martin Knosen says the search technique has seen success in places like South Africa and the United States.
I'm very confident it'll work. It was recently used in Cape Town to explore aquifers. There was a the biggest drought in living memory in Cape Town recently, and I got some good data from that, yeah.
It really is getting very desperate for a lot of people as the drought, you know, continues and there's no kind of forecast of any change. That is taking a real toll on mental health.
The Queensland Dairy Farmers Association says it'll start providing on-farm counselling to producers due to the pressure from the drought. Vice President Matthew Trace says there's been a 15% drop in the number of dairy farmers operating across that state. And he says the counselling program will help farmers discuss some difficult decisions.
I think most farmers understand what decisions they should be making on-farm to protect their business, their asset and their family, but you can get blocked up if you're struggling to sort through those issues in your head. Sometimes indecision is the biggest problem.
Legal action around the health effects of the weed killer glyphosate kicked off in Australia this week.
Yeah, it's a first here. A New South Wales farmer is launching legal action against glyphosate manufacturer Bayer. Moama farmer Ross Wild will be represented by Tony Carbone from Carbone Lawyers, who'll argue that Mr. Wild developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma after exposure to Roundup. If Mr. Wild's name is familiar to you, it's because he appeared on Channel 9's 60 Minutes program looking at glyphosate. Tony Carbone says Monsanto, which Bayer has now taken over, never really gave out adequate safety instructions, and his client is sick as a result.
That's half the battle. The issue here is that Monsanto wanted to have freedom to trade. So effectively, they didn't give any proper instructions on usage on their bottles.
That does seem to be the crux of a lot of legal cases at the moment. Now, plant-based meat, we have a new champion in Hungry Jack's.
Yes, an unlikely champion.
Indeed.
The move of plant-based proteins, sometimes called fake meats, has taken another step closer to the mainstream, with the burger chain Hungry Jack's announcing it's investing in the sector now. A new product line has been developed by the CSIRO and Jack Cowan of Hungry Jack's, and they say their V2 burgers, which are based on grain legumes, should be in shops shortly. Jack Cowan says they don't see it as a direct threat to beef farmers.
It tastes good. And the real story behind the plant-based protein is the fact that we have 7.5 billion people on the earth. We're going to 10, and the existing agricultural system cannot produce enough food as we know it today to handle the growth of the population.
I'm pretty sure there's room for legumes and meat. Mm. There is in our dinner.
That's going to be everywhere soon.
Absolutely. Clint, thanks so much.
See ya.
Clint Jasper there with this week's Rural News. If you want to know more, just head to the RN homepage and search for A Country Breakfast.